What's good?
What's good? We back. We live.
Starting off with the bullshit already. How's it going, man? Welcome to the Who Am I Pod. It's your boy Kev O'Rin. It's your boy CJ. How you doing, bro?
Welcome back. You know, new year, new money, new stimulus check.
Yeah, we here now. We here. We live, ready to go. So yeah, we just gonna hop right into it. It's a lot of stuff that's happened since our last episode. We're not gonna cover it all, obviously. A mass amount of stuff, but we might mention some stuff here and there of what's been occurring in the last about 3-4 weeks since we had a pod. We did a little vacation. So yeah, we're gonna get right to it. But first we're gonna start with some music. So I got a couple singles and an album. I gotta give it to King. He sent me about most of the things I'm gonna talk about. So shout out to King for that. But he kept me in the loop. So I'll let you go ahead and start.
So I got a lot, so feel free to stop me if I mention one of yours, if we got a similar one. The first single I have is SZA, Good Days. And that song has been on repeat since I've heard it. Like, it came out a couple weeks ago. But SZA, I think I'm overdue for a SZA album. Like, yeah. I mentioned it back when Summer Walker came and Snow Allegra came a few years back. Like, they really opened that lane for me towards, though, like, I truly do appreciate women R&B a whole lot more. Now, I know for a fact, like, the last SZA album was a classic, so I'm not that far removed from it. And I know TDE always puts out great bodies of work, but I think with the success of Summer Walker, you can kind of put them in the same lane. I don't want to like compare them too much, but I think the success of Summer Walker has set the stage for SZA to come through with her new album and just totally take over with that. And I think since her last song with Ty Dolla $ign hit different, she 2 for 2. And I mean, this is like great music. Like, it's not just like, oh yeah, that's good, like I'm cool, I can't wait for the album. Like, no, like, these are bangers that I can't stop listening to, and I really want her album. So SZA, Good Days, phenomenal song.
Yeah, I got that one on for it too. It definitely feels like it's coming. I don't know when, but it definitely does feel like she's got an album coming out soon. Especially when you get these like filler singles that she's kind of putting out there, and they seem to be so good that it feels like it'd be hard not to follow it up with an album. You see some people trying to get the filler singles out, and they don't really hit like that. They don't really feel like they're being received well. Well, this is the exact opposite. She got the filler singles out there. It seems like everybody's liking them. I like them. I like them both a lot. So it does feel like that album should be coming soon. I think the biggest thing about all these people that's coming out that's interesting is Drake requires a certain amount of time to drop. So you never really want to drop anywhere in his kind of that realm where he's like coming. And we know he's coming soon. We just don't know the exact day. We heard February. We heard it. We don't know. It was a leaked album. It wasn't really an album. We don't know. It's a lot of information coming out on those. But you never really want to drop in that time frame. I think the only person that did, I think Kendrick did maybe 1 year, but he's big enough to do that. But you never really want to drop in those time frames. So I don't know when she's coming. I was hoping it might be next month, but again, with the Drake coming and everything like that, who knows at this point. But definitely good singles, and I think the album is going to come out and smash, especially like you said, right? I mean, it's women's hip-hop, women's R&B, we're going to talk about another album a little bit later, Jasmine Sullivan, and it's all fantastic, bro. it's all good music, bro. It's all we could ask for, so shout out to SZA for that.
Absolutely. So I'll keep it moving with another single that I have. This one, my Philly bias is going to be strong in this episode. So this one, love him or hate him, like this P&B Rock featuring King Von with Rose Gold. Now, me personally, I've seen P&B Rock come up the same way I've seen Meek Mill come up. So I'm highly invested in his career. I want him to be successful. But this song right here, I guess it just mean a lot more to me because I think King Von's last interview was on $1 Million Worth of Game with Gilly and Wallow. And he was just talking about like randomly like, yo, me and P&B got a song coming up. And then P&B Rock just crashed the interview and then they played it. And then you could just see like they had a real vibe. They had a real like brotherhood type of thing. And King Von was always like, he always had a presence in Philly. Like, it was been very strong. Like, my people in Philly put me on to King Von, like, when Crazy Story came out, and it was like he was really affected by that. But this song right here, I think just seeing that, that being his last interview, for them to preview that song and then seeing a video where PNB actually goes to King Von's hood and then he got all his homies in the video, I think this song just represents like one of the last things that King Von gave us before he ultimately got killed. And like, it just, I don't know, for me, it's a personal song. Like, I like it, you know what I mean? Not personal and like it's a deep song or whatever, but I just like it because that's one of the last moments that I've seen King Von here on this earth. And he was so excited about this song. So to see it come out finally, I'm just happy it did. And I think it's a really good song. So PNB Rock featuring King Von, Rose Gold, if you want to check that out.
That's what's up. You gonna get his face tattooed on your hand?
No, but I might get a chain. I might get the King Von chain.
It ain't real if you ain't getting it tatted on your hand, yeah. Bro. No, I can respect that. I can respect that. I'll go with the next one, Masterpiece by Da Baby. He was kind of rocking out on this one. Like I was actually kind of surprised to hear it. Like, It's hard for me because it's like if the criticism of does he sound different comes on every song, I don't think we always going to be disappointed, right? So I kind of learned to kind of shed that, like, his sound is what his sound is, and he's really good at it, right? It's not like a sound that we just get tired of hearing. It's, you know, like, people have sounds and they stick to it. Future got a sound and he's an icon, right? To me, right? So Travis Scott got a sound, he's an icon. So they all stick to their sounds. They don't really stray from it. They try to do maybe a little bit here and there, but they got a sound, they stick to it, and it's work for them. And DaBaby is no different. The Mega Signs are no different. So I know it seems like they don't have a lot of, you know, weapons in their repertoire. You know, they may not. But what they do have, they're elite at it. You know what I'm saying? Did I say that wrong? Really wrong? I probably did. Didn't
repertoire.
Repertoire. I'm sorry. So, we rusty. Right? I'm rusty, at least.
First game but, back, kill still of this shit.
First quarter, I missed my first shot. All right? Missed the first shot. You know the game ain't going to go well. But, yeah, so they don't have, they might not have a lot of weapons, but what they do it elite, right? So if Da Baby was a shooter, he'd be an elite shooter, right? So as far as NBA goes. So he did a good job on this one. The beat is hard. I don't know who made it. I'd have to look that up for y'all, but I don't know who made it. But the beat is hard. He was rocking out, and he's been consistent, man. Like, as much as I know last year I was kind of disappointed in a lot of things that he dropped because of that criticism, because it sounded the same. But as far as like his fan base and what I see on the internet, it seems like it's growing. And it's growing fast, and it's been at a consistent pace. Like, I see his videos on TikTok all the time, right? Like, his music on TikTok is, like, all the time. It's blowing up on there. So, songs that I've never even heard of. So, that means people are listening to him. People do like Da Baby. That he's not going anywhere for any time soon. So, shout out to Da Baby. I like this single a lot.
Yeah, before we move on, I think, the criticism still remains. Like, does he make songs that sound the same? Like, yes. But I think if he's the best one making those type of songs, then keep doing it. Like, I think he should stay in that lane. I think one of the biggest criticisms that he faced recently is like when he tried to go too far out of his lane, and then it's just like, nah, bro, that's not what we want. We want this. We want songs like these. So I think if he just doubled down and like, okay, this is what I'm bringing, I'm satisfied with it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it might help him to slow down a little bit, like as far as releasing music. Like, he just, if you look at the last like 2 years, he's just released a lot of music. And that kind of works for some people. I mean, Lil Wayne did it for a while. Drake kind of releases a lot of music back in, you know, a few years ago. J. Cole went on a streak where he released a lot of music. But those are really elite artists, and I don't think Da Baby is there yet. So releasing as much music as he has just doesn't really sit right with me. It's kind of like, it's like the Kanye. It's just like, it wasn't sitting right with my soul.
But
it's just kind of like Future did this to himself too, though. Not too long ago, where he just had so many albums, like back to back to back. He had like the double, and before that, he had another album. It was a lot of music at once, and it just starts to blend together and sound the same, and it doesn't do you any favors.
Well, if you look at it from a business standpoint, like if you know every time I drop, I'm gonna do at least 100,000. Then I'm saying count the bag. Like, you got some artists that come out, they might do 200, they might do more records, but if I'm putting out two albums a year and they doing 150 to 200, that's a bag right there.
Yeah. Peep the Griselda.
Facts. That's the model right there.
Yeah, for real. Also, bro, how you got the... He came through with the new background, bro. He got the he got the shadow on the back. That man came through clean back from vacation,
you know
bro.
I'm saying? It's the stimulus hit, dog. That stimulus hit.
You look like you about to spit the craziest, like, basement freestyle I've ever seen in my life, bro. Like, legitimately, like, if the screen started dark with just the mic and then you faded in and just started rapping, like, cold.
Like, bro, cold. The stimulus hit the account, bro. Like, got the I know you got that stimulus. Got the background, the stimulus.
Crazy. I need to get my stimulus up, bro. God damn. No, I'm sorry. Look, you got more singles?
Yeah, I got one more. So the last
Besides
one
the
I got.
You about to drop?
The Who About Podcasting. The last single I got is Fredo Bang featuring Lil Durk with the remix of Top. And this song isn't nothing spectacular. It's just a dope, like, chill song. I've been heavy on to Chicago rap ever since the passing of King Von. I really wanted to dive into his catalog, and I'm into, like, Lil Durk's now a lot. And I think Lil Durk is having a run. Like, just if you think about all the features he's had, all the singles that he's been on, and Lil Durk is definitely on a quiet run. And it might not even be that quiet, but I think every feature he's been on that I've heard him on has been especially fuego. And I think he's found that balance to where he's not full on singing and then he's still kind of rapping. So, like, it's so... When you find the balance between, like, melodic rap, I think that's a dope lane. And I think Lil Durk kind of found his pocket where he can sing a little bit, give a little melody, but still rap, like, give you these bars. And I think with this song, it's a good balance between both him and Fredo Bang. They both singing, they got a melodic hook, but it's a good song. And again, it's not nothing crazy. It's not number one. It's not going to be like the best song ever. It's not going to be the best bars ever. It's not going to be the best singing ever, but it's just a dope, chill song, something that you can throw on into the playlist. And that's Fredo Bang featuring Lil Durk, Top remix.
So this is one of the songs that you sent me that I liked a little bit. So I wasn't going to talk about it much. So I'm going to move on just a little bit, but stay here at the same time. So this album I actually went to listen to, like, the rest of it. After you send me this one song, and two songs, and they're actually back to back. The next two songs were really actually the ones that I liked the most. The one with Moneybagg Yo doing my dance is hard as fuck. The OnlyFans one is crazy. And so I was shocked because I was listening to that one. And I was just like, well, fuck, I just let it ride. And this was the next song. I'm like, why he didn't send me this one? And then this other song, okay, I'm like, why you didn't send me this one? Like, so I was just shocked because they both, that one was good. And then it got, like, the next one was crazy. And the one after that was crazy. So I was just like, okay, so I listened to the album and it's a good album. I like it a lot. Like, I don't listen to a lot of Fredo Bang, but I might now, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I might. I honestly might, dog. So.
Bitch, y'all might be looking at.
Like, you know, shout out to him, bro. That shit sound good, bro. I really fucked with it, man. So, yeah, but those two songs, again, those were Doing My Dance, feature Moneybagg Yo. Moneybagg Yo be going.
That's my dog. Like, that's how I really found out.
This is, like, it seemed like all his features, like, people just throw them out of the oops. And it works so well. Like, it works so well. And then the OnlyFans one, which is, again, was like a kind of singing type of vibe to it. And I didn't expect what it was going to be. And we'll talk about, there's a lot of songs where, like, there's a lot of people just coming out and I listen to their music. I'm not expecting it to be something. And we're going to talk about the Jasmine Sullivan. Like, I didn't expect that from her. I didn't expect this from him either. So, like, when you listen to the song, you look at the title, they just seem different. And you see the artist and you're like, damn, this song does not fit him, but this works really well. So shout out to him, man. That's a good project.
Yeah, that's definitely one. You know, Moneybagg. You know, anything Moneybagg Yo related, I've listened to it. But that's a good song right there. You got any more singles before we transition into albums?
No, but I do want to say quickly, because we didn't get to talk about it on here, Loner by Tory Lanez. I know it came out last year, but it's something I was listening to, especially when I was on vacation a lot, just walking through the airports and stuff like that. the talent's still there, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I know, like, the pen is still there. The ability to make a song is still there. Everything is still there. It's unfortunate what happened, but I still feel like I should mention, I wanted to mention some of the stuff that I was listening to while I've been gone. And outside of really old songs, that was, like, the most recent album or mixtape, whatever you want to call it, that I've been listening to. And shit, man, shit hard. Shit hard. That's all I say.
That's a good one. So how many you got? Just the Jasmine Sullivan album?
Yeah, that's the only album.
All right, so I'll briefly go through two quick albums, and then we'll do a deep dive on the Jasmine Sullivan one. My first one is Larry June with Numbers, and talked about Larry June over the past couple years, like one of the most consistent Bay artists out there. I think he dropped maybe four albums last year, like all heat. And again, very consistent, kind of like with Griselda, a different sound, but the same formula. Like, you know exactly what a Larry June song is going to sound like. You know exactly what a Larry June album is going to sound like. And this is just more of the same. And it's dope to see him elevate his sound to where he's working with more major, not mainstream, mainstream artists like Ro James and Dej Loaf. And it just shows like, okay, he's moving up past like his specific niche or whatever. And I really like him because in one song, and I mean in a matter of 20 seconds, he going to tell you about financial advice and being financially independent. He going to tell you to drink your smoothies and be healthy and, you know, do all that. And then at the same time, he going to tell you about pimping hoes and he going to talk about trapping. And like all within the same song, like he finds a way to tie all those things together. And I just think that's dope and that's unique from an artist. So Larry June Numbers, that's a dope project. And then my last, before we get into Jasmine Sullivan, is Ransom with Crime Scenes. So all last year, Ransom has been putting out these director's cut EPs with a producer called named Nicholas Craven, and they were all fire. And Ransom is actually an older rapper. He came out with Joe Budden way back in the day. And I remember back in the day, he had beef with Joe Budden, and one of his lines that he said, he says, I'm a rip buttons like fat niggas in small shirts. And I was like, oh, he got bars. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is way back in the day. And with this album, too, it's just bars. And I appreciate Griselda so much is because they opened up a lane for older artists like this to flourish. Like a Lloyd Banks, like a Method Man, like a Nori. People that have those names or they have that resume can now come back and, you know, flourish within that Griselda lane. And just to highlight how much, like, he still has bars, like, on the opening track, he said, I used to bag the grams, now I'm the rapping man, and I can pack the stands out in Pakistan with a pack of stands. And it's like, that wordplay, it's like elite, you know what I mean? And it's so much music out here, so many things to listen to, so many people to listen to. And if you want bars, it's definitely out here. And if you want that type of something to listen to, Ransom with Crime Scenes, amazing. And that was just like one line on the first song. So it's I think it's only like seven tracks on there. Really small, really digestible project. But if you want bars, it's out there. And Ransom with Crime Scenes, it's crazy.
That's the shit where I wish, because like, TikTok got it right? Like, TikTok, I like a video, and all of a sudden on my For You page, several similar videos are on my feed, right?
Mm-hmm.
When I go on Spotify or Apple Music, and they like, oh, this is For You, it's like nothing like the songs that I have on my playlist.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, I wish that those type of albums would be fed to me as they should.
Mm-hmm.
Like, That seems like it shouldn't be too much to ask for in 2021. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it don't seem like too much to ask for. If I put a heart on this song, I put a heart on this album, similar albums should start coming to me.
Yeah.
Like, that seems simple. Don't send me, I don't want to like this album, and then next thing I know, hey, Taylor Swift is out. This is for you. Ariana Grande, this is for you. This is not for me. this is not for me. not even a little bit, dog. Don't even send that this way. So I just wish it would be that way, but who am I?
That's what we here for, man. That's what the Who About podcast is here for you.
Oh, God. All right. Well, let's get into it, man. Let's get into the Jasmine Sullivan, the Hotels, man. Whew. This shit tough, bro. This shit tough. You know what's crazy about this one is that she didn't even really, I don't really feel like, probably till song five, all the songs before that, she kind of, you know, was playing around, like she kind of, she was singing, but she wasn't really like giving her the vocal, the shit that you really, you know her for. And it still was like, even through those first two songs, like, nah, she's still one of the best vocalists out right now, top five right now. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's all you can say. Like, just going light, just going easy on the first couple songs. Then you get to Put It Down and Own It. like, for one, I wasn't expecting this type of album from her because nothing about her says ho. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and maybe that's as it is. Maybe it's Cap. That's what I thought. Like, maybe it's just Cap and she's wanted to try out another song because nothing about the woman that may need you bad says it. Like, you know, like, so I don't know. Maybe it is, maybe it's not. But whatever the case is, it released a good album. And so when on it specifically, when I was listening to it, I was just thinking, like, this got to be the nastiest but best sung freaky song I've ever heard in my life. Like, it's literally vulgar almost as WAP. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's a vulgar song when you actually listening to it and what she spitting on it and sitting on it. And she's saying some nasty shit, but she's singing it in one of the most classiest ways. I don't understand it. It's one of the most craziest things. I listen to all that and I'm still thinking, like, man, she still ain't really came out in blue though. Like, you know what I mean? She ain't really let loose with the lungs like I thought she might. Then I got to the last song with her. And her started off the song and it was really cool. It was a good song. She came on midway and started blowing. It started going crazy though. And she was talking that shit. And I ain't even a female. Like, I shouldn't even be in her lane. I know, but goddamn, like, when you sing it this well, like, I'm like, yeah, I understand. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, the first thing she said coming on there is, like, y'all niggas be making me mad, and then act like y'all don't know why y'all made us mad or something crazy like that. I was like, nah. Nah. When you sing it this convincingly, who am I to say? You know, so. But needless to say, like I said, through all that, this album is really good. Like, this is probably one of my favorite Jasmine Sullivan albums, which is I know sounds crazy right now, but really listen to it. If you one of her fans and you people that just like people that can sing, because it's something about people that can sing that's kind of just impressive to listen to, especially when you can't sing yourself, like, and you can just see how they can hit different ranges, and they can go here and then go there and they can switch the voice up like this. It's like shit like that. Like, shit, I be struggling speaking for more than 5 minutes. Like, y'all be singing, going crazy in the studios for hours. Like, y'all vocal cords is amazing. So if y'all like that, if y'all like just vocalists, like, you don't get all of what you think you would from Jasmine Sullivan, but you get different levels that you might have never seen from her. And that's impressive to me at the stage of her career she's in. And it's only 32 minutes, by the way.
Yeah, it's, I know you love that, bro.
Again, as soon as I see it, I say, I hope this getting played.
My Philly bias, I want Jasmine Sullivan to win. Like, I remember first coming out, getting her first billboard, like, seeing her around the city, like, linking up with Missy. Like, it was a moment, you know what I mean? Like you said, like, she's always had an amazing voice, like, up there with some of the best in the game. And I think that, like you said, nobody expected this type of project. But if you look at the scene, if you read the room, it's like, there are songs like WAP. There are the Horrible Decisions podcast, the Call Her Daddy podcast. There is this movement of like, yeah, I'm going to own what I do with my body. And sometimes the messaging isn't as well. So like you got things like the Slut Walk and like the branding of Slut Walk is like, bro, people not going to accept that. You got songs like WAP. It's like, yeah, people going to have problems with that. But when you get something creative, like even the title, Hotels, and how it's spelled, and how it could be one word, it could be two words, but then she missed, like, it's so creative, it makes you think. And when you listen to what she's saying, yes, it's vulgar, but it's so honest, it's so real. And like you said, even though we can't relate to it as men, I can understand it because she's coming from a real place. And I think she pulled off what Tory Lanez failed to do on his album, where she has a skit before each song, but it really sets the stage for what they're going to talk about in that song. And it's like super quick. Some of them like 15, 20 seconds, but each one just kind of like gives you the mindset of what drives a woman to be a quote unquote hoe. And it's like, why do we make these type of decisions? And it's like, because of this, this is where my mind was. And I think the best example of that was I think it was Amanda's Tale, the one right before the song with her. And yeah, it's okay to be a hoe, so to speak. It's okay to own that. It's okay to be who you are, like, by all means. But I think what some people get pushback is like when you're not being given the full picture. It's like, yeah, you can be a hoe, you can like that, but it's going to be consequences that come with that. And oftentimes you either get one side or the other. And I think throughout the whole project, Jasmine gave you like, yes, I like being a hoe, or boom, I cheated on my girl and I lost her type of thing. Like, she's giving you so much. And in that Amanda's Tale, she was talking about the insecurity of being a hoe. Like, I feel inadequate by looking at these Instagram models and knowing that I'm not good enough for somebody. And that makes me feel insecure. That makes me feel like lonely and hurtful. And it's like, that's I can relate to that. I can understand that. And I can see how that type of mentality can lead you to want to be a hoe. And again, it's not justifying it or it's not condemning it. It's just a real, raw, honest take on something that, you know, we've been given in so many different ways, but we haven't been given a full picture like this. So I agree, this project, and it's only an EP, which is crazy because it has features on there like her, Anderson .Paak, and Ari Lennox. But these are just like, yeah, we'll put something out. Like, the album's still coming. It's like, this is an amazing project to start the year off.
Yeah, man. Like, it's hard not to understand where she coming from, what she's saying, and how I'm sure some other women feel as well. So it was a good explanation for me. Like, that's what I can say. It's a good explanation for me as to why somebody would want to live that type of lifestyle. So I appreciated it a lot.
Again, kind of like I was saying with Griselda, it's dope to see, like, she's an older artist. Like, bro, I bust the windows out your car. Like, I want you bad. Like, all that. That's way back in the day, bro. So to see her, if you watch her Tiny Desk performance, like, she still looks amazing, sounds amazing. And to see her put out this body of work in a new age, it's like, that's really greatness. So you got to have to pay respect to an artist that can do that. Because we know so many artists that come out, get a little buzz, and then we never see them or hear from them again. And if we do, they nowhere close to what they used to be. And like, this is, you know, I have this standing the test of time, like, towards the end of the year, something we'll be talking about as a project of the year. And it's dope to see that she pulled that out this late in her career.
Yeah. And we're going to, I mean, this female R&B wave does not seem to be stopping anytime soon.
It's only getting stronger.
From unfamiliar faces, not really unfamiliar, but faces unexpected. We ain't really seen. Yeah. Unexpected mm-hmm. faces. Like, just, they just coming, bro. Like, it seemed like every year there's been somebody new for me, not new to the game, but new for me. Like, Kiana mm-hmm. Ledé, I had no idea she was before 2020 came along, right? Before mm-hmm. that, it was Summer Walker. Like, before that, it was SZA or whoever it was. Like, every year, it just seemed like there's a new one. It's just like, damn, all of them good. Like, you know, mm-hmm. they're like, all of them good. They all can blow. They all know their strengths and weaknesses very, very well. They all got a sound. Some of their sound is kind of similar, but they're different in their own way. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing to see, really. And I love it. I need that R&B. So, we actually gonna get into this. This will take us to our next topic kind of well. So we're gonna talk about Dani Leigh and Yellowbone, apparently. So you might have to explain this one to me a little bit. I did research it. I just guess I don't really see the issue, but I'm not, again, this is one of those things I'm gonna try to stay out of it. I ain't really, you know, I'm not a woman. To me, when I was looking around, it seemed like a lot of women were mad about this. So, but I'll go ahead and explain the topic first. So Dani Leigh, for y'all who don't know, she's a relatively new artist. She's kind of dating the baby right now. They got some songs together. She had a big hit. What was her big hit came out? I can't think of it. What?
She had one with Chris Brown, Take It Easy, and then she had another one.
Yeah, she's been on a little bit of run. I think it was a Levi thing or something. I don't know. But, so she's been on a little bit of a run. Well, she released a snippet of a song called Yellowbone. And this song is basically talking about, you know, like the her complexion and that, you know, men want, he wants, she didn't really say who, she just said he wants a yellow bone. That's basically kind of the line in the song and what they're talking about. Well, this apparently caused a lot of backlash for several different reasons. Apparently, she's not black, which is, I don't know if we, I can't confirm that. She says she's black, white, Latino, Asian. She said a lot of things in a post when she responded. So she did like no cap. Like
she
was a rainbow.
So, so I guess. I ain't know what to say, so I mean, I guess I can only assume that's correct. But so she getting it. So that was the first kind of criticism. The second criticism is like, hey, why are you talking about just yellow bones? Why don't you include everybody? What's wrong with dark skinned women? It's just a lot of kind of feedback or backlash, if you would, for that type of song and that type of rhetoric. I'll just start here. I don't really get it. I'm be honest. And I was listening to somebody. I was listening to Charlamagne, and he made a good point. He said, "Well, is brown skinned girl, should that be, you know, looked at as some type of negative feedback? Should that have some type of backlash?" The obvious answer is no. The obvious answer is no. Like brown skinned girl, no. That's empowering. Like that's a great song. That was a great moment. That was a great video. Everything about that it was beautiful. But it's the same thing, is it not? It's talking about one color of skin, right? They didn't say all skin girls. They didn't say brown and beige and all the yellow and all. They didn't say that. Said the song is about brown skin girls. This song is about yellow bones. Beyonce got no backlash for that. Actually, she got empowered for doing that. Danny Lay is now getting canceled somehow. The addition and math in between that don't really make sense to me. So that to me, it just doesn't really make sense. Now you can say, has brown skinned girls in general been a little bit disrespected by the hip hop community? Sure. 100%. Like I'm not going to knock that, but you can't be all about this type of empowerment and self-love and loving the skin you're in. And then somebody makes a song about that same thing, loving the skin I am. I feel good in this yellow skin. I'm going to make a song about it. And then you be mad about it. That doesn't make sense. Because you tell me about all this self-love and empowerment and loving myself, no matter what my shape, size, color is. That's this whole wave. It's been going on for a long time now, probably back to 2019 where this stuff just started happening, where everybody like, oh, we got to love each other and love it. And I'm like, hey, cool, I like it. If you love it, I like it. So I don't see now how she makes a song about that same thing, that self-love type stuff, and people are mad because she didn't include another skin type. That doesn't make sense. Like you can't have it both ways. You can't tell her to love herself and love the skin she's in. She does that by making a song because she's an artist, and you mad. Like, make it make sense to me, King.
So I'm with you. Like, first and foremost, I think that this is a reach, and I think I know why she's getting so much backlash, but I'll talk about that a little bit later. I think it's crazy because she's been, I'll say bullied, but, you know, she's been getting so much backlash that she actually deleted all her social media accounts just so she don't have to deal with it. And she initially came out with like a half apology, half like standing her ground, where she says, congratulations, y'all got another thing to say about me when you hate. It's all good. Only God can cancel me. That shit don't mean shit to me because the people around me are the ones that know my heart and my intention in real life. I'm sorry if I offended you. So I think that was kind of like she poured more gasoline on the fire because now she kind of gave the criticism validation. And then everybody came out the woodworks. And I mean, from other female artists to female journalists, like a bunch of people came out calling it tone deaf, talking about she's spreading colorism, all that good stuff. So first of all, she could have kept that song. Like that song, I didn't need to hear that. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's first. Let's be honest, that's first. Yeah,
she's been on a run, but that ain't the one. Like that's not, that's not the one.
Yeah, no, you can have that.
But second of all, I think is people don't like her. And really, people don't like her because she with the baby. and the way that she went about getting with the baby. And I think that's what it really is. And I think that she's looked at a certain way, kind of like how people were looking at Alicia Keys for a little bit when she got with Swizz Beatz. And it's like they view her as like a home wrecker. And for a long time, it was rumored that they were together. But when the baby was with his like baby mom, and then all of a sudden they pop out saying we not together. And then a couple months later, now they're together. So it just seems shady.
And I think, Simone, so,
yeah, like I feel like people just don't like her because of how that situation went. And now they're looking for anything they can say bad about her. And I think that's where kind of the half apology, half defense is like, yo, y'all going to say what y'all want to say. Here's another thing y'all can say about me. But to say that, all the song said was he want a yellow bone. He want a thick yellow bone. She didn't say yellow bone's better than everybody. She didn't say he don't want no ugly black girl. She didn't say anything about anybody else. Like you said, like she just, this is who I am. This is what I identify as. You know what I'm saying? Now we can't identify as other races. But...
Tom Hanks, what's his name? The Jamaicans. Chill out, bro.
But she was like, yo, this is me. Like, you know what I'm saying? This is me. Like, I'm just celebrating me. And for them to say that's colorism, it's just a reach, bro. And I think we as a culture, we as a community, we have to stop going at people for these, you know, these moral things like, oh, I'm going to stand for rights. I'm going to stand for what's right, whatever. Because when you call this colorism, you neglect real colorism. You, it's like the boy that cried wolf is like, every time you call out some BS, when some real colorism goes down, now you don't have as much of a platform. Now there isn't as much of a rallying cry against it because now everything colorism. Okay. You thought Danny Lay was colorism, but now you think this is the same. And it's like you invalidate the real claims of colorism when you do stuff like this. And I think that this is a reach just because I don't think they like this person. They don't like who she's with and they don't like the whole situation, how it came about. I think that some people that I really respect are wrong in this. Like, I love Chica. Like, I love Chica. But when I saw her, like, going at her, it's like, come on, man. Like, this ain't the one. This is not the hill we die on. Because if you really want to look at it, like you said, it's 10, 15, 20, 30 years of way worse lyrics from some of our favorite artists that say things to this effect, but are way worse. You know what I mean? And it's like, if we want to go down that rabbit hole, we might as well tear the whole culture apart. So to just pick and choose this off of a snippet of a song that don't come out, it hasn't came out yet. It's not even a good song. I hope it never comes out. It's like, what are we doing here, bro?
Yeah, man. Listen, if this is the most extreme case of colorism we can drum up right now, Africa will welcome this right now, today. Cause they got, you want to talk about some colorism, bro? We with some severe cases. Damn. We go to Africa right now. There's several cases in the last. Y'all was just posting them all on your Instagram about what 7-8 months ago. So mm-hmm. Like, this is there's real colorism going on in the world right now, bro. We don't need to drum up other things. And we say this when racism and stuff in general just comes about. We've been pretty, you know, consistent on our call on this. Is that when you call this type of stuff out, this pitter-patter stuff that we don't really need to be talking about, you invalidate the stuff that's really going on. Like, you can't pick and choose when you want to be the justice person. Like, you can't pick and choose that. You have to be consistent with it the whole time. You have to. You have to be that same person and keep that same energy the whole time. So if that does upset you, that's cool. But like you said, let's call it all out then. Let's lay it all out there, even your favorite artists. Even your favorite artists, let's lay it all out there. Let's lay all their lines out there, and let's make sure we get this out of the way. Because if this is colorism, which I'm really of mindset that it's not, it should be called out. But to me, again, this is just some immature type stuff right here. Like I scroll up and down Twitter and Instagram, and I see all of these posts about being unbothered in 2021 and being I'm on my own business. I'm worried about my own stuff. It be that until something like this happened. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it be that until you worried about what a woman do you've never met in your life. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it'd be that until you really be on Twitter bad about something that somebody did that you'll never meet, never know, don't care. They'll never see this tweet. I don't understand it, bro. Like, stop giving your time and energy to shit like this, bro. It's not doing you any good. If anything, it's making you bitter and you look mad. So let's not be bitter and mad in 2021 going forward.
Yeah, that's not the vibes. That's what give you wrinkles. Being bitter give you wrinkles, and nobody want wrinkles.
Nobody want wrinkles. Get the fuck out of here.
I'm trying to be as unbothered as Bernie Sanders was at the inauguration. That's the level of unbothered I want to be. Bro. That is unbothered goals right bro. There, bro.
Homie was chilling, bro. The funniest thing that was on that for me was I think Shade Room posted it and it was like one thing about George Bush is he gonna find Michelle Obama.
Yeah.
It was just a bunch of slideshow. He'd be happy as shit talking to her. No? He'd be happy as shit. But politics is so funny to me because George Bush was like a demon. Like when I recall, like, you know what I'm saying? Like George Bush was a fucking evil incarnation of the devil himself. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like you couldn't to say, like, back when, and this was before I was even really into politics. I couldn't even vote when he was president. So it's wild to me now to see how buddy-buddy, like, people are with George Bush now. And politics is nasty, bro. Because next, the president next, Joe Biden is already going to be, he's going to be a demon. The person after him is going to be a devil to somebody. And it's just going to continue on. But I think the next Republican president, they're going to try to convince him that he's worse than Trump. Like, so we'll never win, right? Like when I look at that stuff, like I said, it makes me realize how immature we are here in America. Just childish, like just blatantly childish. Like even the fact that I know we talked about this a while ago. We talked about Donald Trump not being at the inauguration, right? It's obvious that he wasn't going to be there, but it's childish that he's not going to be there. Right? Like, it's kind of childish that he's not going to be there. Like, Obama hated your guts. He was there, right? Nobody wants to lose an election. Nobody wants to lose anything in life. But they buckle up and they say, cool. Like, he remind me of the kid that was slapped the shit out of that dude at the wrestling tournament. Like, you hear that little clip? All right, I'm going to post that right. I'm putting it right here in the video.
Twisted tea. I thought she was going to say the twisted tea.
No, chill, bro. No, bro. Like that shit got me weak, bro. But that shit just made me bad. And then I was just thinking, like, the whole thing about like Ivanka not showing Jill the White House, like everybody, the first lady supposed to get the next first lady a tour and everything like that. Like just buckle, just be an adult about shit. Just basic human things. Like you don't have to like a person. You don't have to do anything. It's like I shouldn't have to tell grown ass 50, 60, 70-year-old people to be adults about things, and that's what we got running our country. I don't really like that type of shit, bro. I don't really like it.
They said Bernie Sanders was dressed like the inauguration was on his to-do list, but it wasn't his whole day.
Bro, I'm done. I actually didn't watch none of this though, actually, to be honest. I watched the speech like a few days later, but like I've been so done with just listening to the nonsense, I just let it go. But one thing I did hear about was your boy Trump was giving get out of jail free cards like he was on Monopoly. Like that man said, You get a pardon. To his credit, there were a lot of people that should never been in jail anyway that was on that list. There's a very, very long list. I'm not sure how many people on here. I was scrolling through it earlier. I was trying to count. But do you know the exact number? I mean, these names never stop.
I've seen conflicting reports, but it's somewhere in the ballpark of 143, 144 people that was either pardoned or had their sentences commuted.
Bro, is that like, that has to be like a big number. Like,
nah, that's about average. Like,
really?
Yeah, because that's...
I know this is common. Like, I know it's common. I just thought that...
I think it's uncommon that he did it all like within the last hours of his presidency. Like this was like the last second, like step back three, like, all right, whatever. Everybody came a hole.
Fade away as he walked out the door. Like, just like, ah, let me get one shot.
It's like D-Wade when he hit that fade away, he just ran off the court. Like he just
That was love, bro. Like It's love. Like, it's all love. I like people seeing people get out. Like, he did hide a lot of these. There were some big names in there that he hid that was kind of shady. That was his people that supported him. But if you was in that position, you'd get the homies out, right? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
afraid
if
of
you was in that position, tell me you wouldn't get the homies out.
That's cap. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
come on. That's cap. You say you wouldn't. It's cap. You say you wouldn't. But that's going to be our next topic. We just kind of wanted to talk about a little bit. Obviously, the biggest one for a podcast like this would be Lil Wayne. He got pardoned as well for, I'm guessing, a gun charge. I don't even know at this point. Lil Wayne got so much shit going on. I don't really know, but I'm assuming it was a gun charge. Big deal for Lil Wayne. That is cool. Listen, man. Here, I pose a question. Say you knew this was happening. You knew this could happen if you gave the pledge. So say they gave him that. Say they gave Lil Wayne the A. Come over here during the election, you know, show love, do this, and I'm going to get you off. I'm going to get you with the pardon, right? Now, I know that didn't happen because the gun charge came after we actually seen Lil Wayne with Donald Trump. So that didn't happen. But if that was the case, would you have do it?
Yes.
100%.
Yeah. And
1,000%.
Although the charges came afterwards, like the arrest was over a year ago. So it was only a matter of time before the charges came.
Right.
And they said he met with Donald Trump and they spoke for like an hour and they was talking about like where they came from, how they grew up, all these other things. And then he see him with the sweater, with the, you know what I'm saying? The best time to wear a striped sweater. You know, he pulled up with the sweater like, yo, the homie, vote for the homie. And now he got the pardon. I don't want to step on your point if you had another point, but
no,
that's how we should be involved in politics, bro. It don't matter who's in charge. Snoop Dogg went to the president and petitioned on behalf of an early financer of Death Row Records, and he got pardoned. Snoop Dogg has been one of the most outspoken person against this administration, but even he knows, like, hey, bro, you can bring home the homie, right? Hey, bring home the homie. And the homie is home. You know what I'm saying? So it's like people have been reaching out on social media and through like the official forum to get Kodak Black out. Guess who home? Kodak Black. So it's like this whole like, oh, I hate you because your political party is different than mine, or I don't. Da, da, da. Hey, this person, when it comes to very limited things, when it comes to pardon power, that's they have that ability. And like you said, I can let the homies out. And I can let your homies out. So what are we doing? Hey, if you can bring the homie home, if it's on federal charges, you know what I mean? They can't commute like the lower level. But if it's federal charges, hey, help the homie out. And I respect that. I respect like, all right, bet I might not agree with you. I might not like you. I might not. I've been against you for this past 4 years. But before you leave office, yo, do what's right. And for a lot of people, you know, he did that. For some people, you know, it's questionable whether they should have, you know what I'm saying? They should have got that. But, you know, when a person is in that office, they can do that. But I think that this should be a message, like, as we engage in politics, and it's an article right now, quick plug, thewhoamipodcast.com. I wrote an article or a blog on there talking about now is not the time to just sit back and relax. Okay, he's gone. I don't have to be involved in politics. Now is actually the time to double down, because we've been doing all this stuff. We've been making so much progress to the point where our voices have been heard around the world. Now we have somebody sitting in this seat that claims to be on the same side as us, that claims to want to make the changes that we've been calling for. So now is the time to keep that same energy. And if we were able to get that done with an administration that went against us, we should definitely apply that same pressure and hold accountable the people that say they're with us. And I think that this is a demonstration, because a lot of people that we, or not we, but the culture asked for to get pardoned, they didn't get pardoned. So let's apply that pressure and say, okay, Joe Biden, we want you to pardon this person, or we want you to commute the sentence of this person. You know what I mean? Because I was disappointed that Joe Exotic didn't get the pardon. Like, my man had the limo. He had the hair and makeup ready. He was ready, dog. And I had the song playing and everything. Free my dog Joe Exotic. And see, I'm saying, he's still in the big, man. Free the real, dog. You know what I'm saying?
Like,
we gotta apply the pressure, man.
Yeah, man. Listen, this made me feel, because when I looked through that list and I was reading through it a lot earlier, and there were a lot of people that, because of that 1994 crime bill, like, they you know what I'm saying, like, the one that Joe Biden signed off of, like, they were still in jail because of the results of that. Like, Donald Trump let some of those people out. Like, Joe Biden, you got to rewrite that. You got to write that wrong. Like, that should be your one thing. That you owe black people that. Because you destroyed our communities with that. Destroyed them. It is completely on you at this position right now for you to actually fix that. Like, you got to do that. That should be all this. You signed a bunch of bullshit I was looking through. You signed a bunch of executive orders, about 10 or 15 of them. A bunch of bullshit to me that this is the one thing that you need to make sure you do within the next 4 years. Because I can guarantee you, if you do not treat black people right, you will not have another 4 years. The time for that is over. It's over. We've helped you way too much in the past. Way too much in the past. It is over for you if you cannot do that. If you cannot do something to help black people, I'm sorry to say it, but you will not have another 4 years. I can guarantee it. So, who am I?
Yeah, because we voting Kanye next time.
Bro, shit, man. I'm voting LeBron, bro.
Oh, you not rocking with the birthday party? Okay, okay.
I'm writing my own part. The who am I party in, bro. Right, they had all type of shit on there, bro. Fuck it. Yeah, because, I mean, boy, did black people come to show out in this election, bro. Facts. Like, that's all I'm saying. Like, boy, did black women show out.
I knew it was real when they interrupted the Gucci Man versus Jeezy battle to talk about the Georgia runoffs that was upcoming. I was like, bro, this ain't no joke, bro.
Bro.
And then they flipped those seats. You know I'm saying? He has the supermajority. He has the House and the Senate now.
How can you? You got to get something done. Yeah. You got a better situation than Obama did.
Well, this is how Obama got Obamacare passed, because he had a supermajority. This is how he got Obamacare. So it's like, hey, bro.
But why I say because the Democrats and now even the Republicans are like, hey, we might have fucked up with Trump. Like, mm-hmm. even like, there's a lot of Republicans that are agreeing with Democrats now. Mm-hmm. This is the best time. If you really all about that joining, like, we need to be all, we might be a separate parties, but we're not enemies. Like, all that stuff you're saying, like, this is the perfect time. Like, if you really think that Trump tore the country apart, put it back together. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, put it back together. It's not an easy task, but it's the one that you got.
That's what I'm saying. Like, now is our time to make our voices heard. This is not the time to just sit back and be like, okay, he got it from here. No, let's apply that same pressure. Let's let it know exactly what we want. I mean, to the point where we was up here talking about specific plans for black people that people had drafted last year. Like, yo, we need that same level of intent plus more, because they have the actual facilities, they have the capability to actually do it. So rather than just saying, like, oh, I want reparations, I want this, I want everything to be equal. No, what specifically do we want to get done as a culture, as a community? Because now is our time to actually get it done. And if not, then, hey, maybe these are more political games, and now we're awakened and we can elevate the conversation about how we engage in politics. Because if it doesn't work now, then maybe we need to start having some different conversations.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah. It's all I know is, bro, it's crazy that all y'all people that ran up in the Capitol and supported Trump, I don't see none of y'all names on that pardon list, bro.
No, they on that no-fly list.
I see your name on many lists, but I don't see none of y'all names on that party list, bro. That's it's amazing to me. We didn't get to talk about this because we have a podcast, but it's just amazing how hard people are willing to go for politics, bro. Like, for politicians. Like, I've never seen it this way, bro. I've never seen
it. But this the thing, and I don't want to come across as like this, like I'm condoning it or anything like that. I do not condone that action. I thought that was some sucker shit. Like, that was weak. That was stupid. The fact that people lost their lives, like, that's stupid. I think we can all agree on that. What I will say is, we can't ignore the sentiment that inspired that rage. And this wasn't just, yo, Donald Trump said go do it, and then we followed his orders, because he was still giving the speech when that actually happened. He was still on stage speaking about it when they actually stormed the Capitol. So it's not all just him. I think that we need to look at, yo, people really felt like their voices aren't being heard And the only way to make some change and the only way to stir the conversation is through violence. And we can say that about both political parties within the past few years. We have been driven to the point where we feel unheard. And the only way to make you hear me is to burn something down or is to, you know, invade this government building, because there have been police stations invaded. There have been courthouses invaded. Their capital's been invaded. So I don't want to say either side is right or wrong, but just if we can see the commonality in both people having that frustration of nobody hears me. And if I can't be heard at this level where I'm voting for the people that run the country, what else am I to do? And again, I'm not saying that was right, but we have to understand we are more alike than we are different. And those are still human beings. Those are still people. We can demonize them and say all this stuff on social media, but at the same time, somebody lost their life. And that was a real person. Regardless of who they supported politically, regardless of how they feel about who you like, that's still a person. And we need to move back to, okay, that's a person. I can disagree with them, but I can still respect them as a human being.
Yeah. And to be honest, though, resorting to violence is the most American thing that I can think of. Bro. Like, bro, like, resort, like, if y'all think it's not, it's cap, bro. Yeah. Like, it's really the most American thing. Like, when we push to a certain point as Americans, in any point in history, we have resorted to violence.
The whole like, country exists. He's like, bro, nah, like, now my we go. This our country now. This America. Nah, bro. This America, bro. What you trying to do? Bro. Put them hands.
America's a lot of things. One thing America is not is a bunch of hoes. Mm-hmm. Like, America is not full with a bunch of hoes, bro. Like, if you push any crowd to a certain point, they will resort to violence, bro. Like, that's just how it goes. They do bring up a good point. I think the execution of it was obviously wrong. But their point of holding politicians accountable, sure, the reason of fraud voting, that's nonsense.
Right.
But actually holding politicians accountable, yeah, we need to be doing that. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we need to be running in their shit, but,
You ain't putting on the bear or no moose. You ain't putting on a moose on your head and coming through.
Nah, well, if I don't get my $2,000 semi, Joe, if I don't get my $2,000 semi,
the
Joe.
The clock is ticking on the semi, dog.
I'm running in your shit, Joe. I'm running in your shit, Joe. I know where you stay. I'm in your shit if I don't get my $2,000 semi. You got the game fucked up, Joe. I need my stevie, bro.
Oh,
I'm running.
That was another funny thing, like seeing the
Buckeye head on, though. I'm at the Buckeye head on.
You gonna get that whole school shut down because they ain't gonna be able to find you.
I'll say gotta go.
That was a funny thing though over the break where we see like people send a Cash App to like Congress, like the stimmy. Like I want my $600, I want my $2,000.
Let me get my stimmy, bro. Yeah, I think I forgot a little bit of money.
Left something off that last one.
Yeah, let me need my stimmy, bro.
Oh man.
It's been funny. It's been a funny 4 weeks, but we back now, man. So man. Feel good, man. I think that's our last topic though, ain't it?
Yeah, that's all I got, unless you got a positivity shout out.
I do have a positivity shout out. Do you?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll get mine. Mine's just short, but it's one I thought of today because I was going to do it earlier in the year, but this is our first podcast of 2021. So my positivity shout out goes to 2020. I know that sounds weird. Let me explain, right? 2020 was rough in reality. Like in real life, I can't think of a year that was rougher than 2020. Like it seemed as if all the negativity that's been kind of festering in the world for the last decade or so just seemed to just make its way into 2020. And everything that you could think of that you're like, we're not going to have people rioting on the streets. Well, we're not going to have a disease killing people. Well, we're not going to be stuck in our homes. Well, you know what I'm saying? We're not going to have deaths of people that we just don't want, just can't seem to have die, right? Well, so all these bad things were happening, right? But there's something to adversity that just seems to make you stronger, right? And if it's one thing I realize, it's all the things that I did wrong, right? That I'm doing wrong, right? Like, I sat in my house for most of 2020, and I got a little bit accomplished, but I could work a lot harder. Like, that was my, like, when I came to the New Year's, and I was sitting out in Hawaii, and I was looking at all the fireworks, things like that, I was thinking, like, I ain't did enough this year. I ain't worked hard enough last year. Like, I'm not going to let 2021 be the same. Things like that are what adversity brings. It's uncomfortable, right? 2020 was uncomfortable. It made me uncomfortable. A lot of things that didn't go my way. The dice wasn't rolling the way I thought they should roll. I can change that. I can work harder. I can change that. Things like that make me feel a lot better. So 2020, for bringing that adversity to me, is a positive. Because I'm going to make it a positive, right? I need that. I need that in my life for this 2021. I need it to be better. But I'm not just going to rely on the energies of the world to make it better. I'm going to make it better myself. I'm going to make sure that it's better. So shout out to 2020, man. Y'all, you had me in the first half. I'm not going to lie. But you're the first half. Not gonna lie, but at the same time, I appreciate that ass whooping, man. I need that kick in the ass to make sure. This year I'm on my shit. This year I gotta get the grind going, man. All this time I spent at home, all this time I'm spending doing this and that, I wasn't traveling. I should have been spending doing something more productive. I did have a great year with the pod. We do appreciate y'all here, but I do want to say I can't work harder, and we will be better as well going into 2021.
Damn, bro, you got a round of applause for that. That was a word. Right there. Oh, man.
Let me get a little. Thank you.
That boy, preach it, bro. I thought, ooh, I didn't want to say mine. I'm stupid now.
I like to thank Hot Cheetos. They always been in my life.
Because they just came out with the sour cream and onion. I was like, that's a brand. I'll keep my show because I got nothing on that. I actually wanted to shout out the team of Bernie Sanders, low key. And granted, and I'll be completely honest, I do not support 99.9% of Bernie Sanders' political ideologies, his theories, his plans. That's not me. I like his personality. I like his energy. And I like that he stands on what he believes in. But my views don't align with his views. But I'm like I mentioned earlier in the podcast, like, he's literally going viral. Like, pretty much less and less people are talking about the inauguration, and more people are talking about the image of him just sitting in a chair. Like, hilarious. And I think in less than 24 hours, his team put together a campaign where you can buy a shirt with that image on it, and then all the proceeds go to charity. And I think that demonstration is so dope, because far too many times in our culture, we go viral, or we have a great idea and we wait for somebody else to come in and validate us, or we wait for somebody else to come in and offer us something. And ultimately we have a little run, but then we're not able to capitalize on it. Within 24 hours, they were able to figure out not only a way to capture the moment, but then monetize it, and not only just monetize it for themselves, but to give that money to a good cause. Because if this is going to be a moment that we're responsible for, we can at least take a portion of this and dedicate it to our cause. And there are so many people that go viral off GIFs, off videos, off totally different things on the internet. And if they can follow this model, and you don't have to donate the money to charity, you can put that money in a Black-owned bank. You can put that money back into your craft and reinvest it in yourself. You can put that money and do whatever you want to do with it. But just the demonstration of capitalizing on your moment, owning that, and then figuring out how to wait to do something with it, I respect that demonstration. And again, like I talked about with the politics, I don't have to agree with you. I don't have to like you in order to recognize when you do something well. And I think that was a demonstration of doing something well, capitalizing on the moment. So shout out his team for that.
That's just smart. It's good business moves right there.
Yeah.
Something we can learn from. Just everybody in general. That's one thing I did do a lot of 2020, is just peeping how people moved. Mm-hmm. Because when you talk about, as far as content, like, it was flooded in 20. That's one thing that flourished. Mm-hmm. Like, so many people made podcasts, blogs, YouTube channels, famous on TikTok, Instagram fame. It don't even matter. Just made it happen on these type of social media platforms by making content. So watching how those people move, like, you could learn a lot. Like, you'd be surprised. Even the ones you don't like. Mm-hmm. Again, that's one thing that the military teaches us. Like, even mm-hmm. though you don't like somebody, like, you get respected. You gotta be able to respect it in the military. And that's one thing that I brought back into the kind of, like, my life, is just, you know, I don't, there's a lot of people I don't like, but I respect it. You know what I'm saying? I respect the move. Mm-hmm. So you gotta be able to move that way.
Absolutely. Real quick before we get out of here, just want to do one more plug. TheWhoAmIPodcast.com. Go ahead, check that out. Periodic blogs, articles, cultural commentary, music reviews, just news updates, all of that. You can find, listen to the podcast on there, all of that.
Who am I?
But links to all our social media.
Don DeMarco.
I get your dumb ass. If I mute your ass. Well, all the links to all our social media accounts, if you want to email us to collaborate, get on the podcast, you could do that through there as well. It's just getting started, so it is very bare right now, but if you can, go ahead, check it out, support us in that way. We do appreciate it. None of this would be possible without y'all. So we just, like Kevo said earlier, we're trying to do better in this new year, bring more, show you that we appreciate you, but continue to upgrade, continue to level up, continue to bring you more content. So thank you for that, and we would appreciate it if you check out the website.
Hell yeah, man. 2020 did bring Macs and microphones for the pod. Just saying. So 2021, I don't know. You already got a back. You already got a shadow background. I don't really. When we get off, you're going to fade into the darkness.
I low key stormed the Capitol building and I'm just stuck in a room. I'm low key still there. I'm waiting for Biden to party me so I can come on the
FBI right now. Bro, you gonna be the only one to get the 10-year minimum, dog.
Hashtag free king, dog. I'm still in the bottom of the Capitol, bro. I need to come home.
You got to wait 4 years for the pardon to buy. I'll put a prediction, bro. Nah, but yeah, man, we appreciate y'all for tuning in, man. You got anything else?
Nah, that's it, man. Thank you for tuning in.
For sure. This is my pod. We out.